and I will enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And I will enter this court with praise. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, I was glad when they said,
Brother Pictures always says, get up here and say that, and Lord, I can't even sit in my seat. Amen. You know, amen. What has God done for you today?
Right.
Started off this morning, you had breath.
Right.
Oh, Lord, I tell you what, I've been going to the gym for a little bit, and I use a thing called pre-workout. So I got right. Spiritual pre-workout, I put on service.
Come on.
I started dwelling on the things. I came in to church with it on. Some people listen to music.
Right.
Oh, Lord, I listened to God speak to me.
All right, amen.
You know, Wednesday was a special service. I got to see my brother again.
Amen.
And I've said it once to somebody. I said it again.
Yeah.
You know what? Two livers, and where are you at?
Right.
In the house of God.
Right.
I was, that is an example.
Amen.
You on death's door, and the first place you want to be is here.
Oh, yes.
Right. Lord, I can do better.
Amen.
I can do better.
Amen.
Lord, this is so real to me. I love how he says, "You, when you come to the house of God, you should talk with authority."
That's right.
If you can't talk with authority here, you can't talk with authority out there.
Right.
You can't talk about getting the dead up here. You can't get the dead up out there.
Right.
I don't want to hear it if you can't talk here with some authority, with
that's
a backbone.
Right.
You can't talk out there. It's nothing but works.
Amen.
It's dead.
Amen.
But here, when I talk, that voice is heard. That bride hears my voice.
Amen.
It says, get up, little bride.
That's right. That's right.
Lord, I love it because you know what I'm thinking about today? I was like, who's on the mountain with me?
Right.
Who's on the mountain with me?
Right.
I'm not in Sodom and Gomorrah.
No.
I'm not the lost.
Amen.
No, I'm not the church. I have a promise.
Amen.
I looked to see what communing means.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
He said he was communing with God.
Right.
Let me tell you what commune says. To share one's intimate thoughts or feelings with someone, especially on a personal level.
Amen.
Personal level. Who has a personal revelation with God?
Huh?
I do. I'm not going to come in here. I came here to have church.
Amen.
I feel that you should have a thought. You should bring something.
Amen.
You go to a family meal, everybody should bring a dish. Everybody has a part.
Surely
we should lift each other up. Lord, I love the fact that, you know, I drank something. I'll never thirst again.
That's right.
When life, when Satan comes and he's like, well, we're going to break your tire rod. I'm like, okay, God, who do I got to meet?
That's it.
When you get bills that look like they're daunting, Lord, he said, I'll feed you. You'll never be hungry again.
Never be hungry.
Right.
I have enough to live.
Never
I don't need a surplus.
Uh-uh.
I don't need acolytes and riches.
No.
I need this word.
Amen.
I hunger for this word.
Yes.
This word is real. So when I say I'm communing with God, you got to know where God's at.
That's right.
You got to know where God's at because God, you go over here looking for a church, a super church, looking for thunders and signs and, oh, Lord, maybe he'll come out of the sky. God's already here. If you're looking for thunders, you missed him. He got up here. He wanted to get up early. But I was like, you know what? I want to be respectful.
Sure.
I want to be reverent. This is real to me. I don't
That's
want to
right.
come in and throw it off, but at the same time,
yeah,
I'm like, Jacob, I'll put fur on my arms.
Come on.
I'll dress up as a song leader if I have to.
This is real.
Yeah. This is real. You come in here, you should have something to say.
Amen.
You should be communing with God.
Because
where's God at? God's in flesh. I can talk to Brother Jay. God bless, Jay. We made
Amen.
It. One more time. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the way is, you made it. We all made it. We should be clapping each other every single time we come in those doors.
Right.
This is a real... I don't want to take my voice home. I don't want to take my arms home. I came here to praise the Lord. I came here to have church. So I'm gonna just going to take my time. I'm going to walk around this place.
Right. Well, let me say some of it. You know, I got to worship in my heart, too. He's brought me a mighty long way. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that we have so much. We have so much. We're just overwhelmed with so much, you know, and not have something to say. I got something to say all the time. I commune with him all the time. I walked out of here, song service there. I was thinking about that song. He walks with me, and he talks with me all along the way. You know, it's been wore out, but you know it means something to me. and the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. You know, and I think about that, but nobody knows my walk with him. Nobody knows how he takes the word of God and what it means to me. Because he takes that word, as I hear the same word you hear, he takes that and he ties with everything else he's revealed to me. You know, he brings out what he wants, and it's beautiful. It's a communion. It's a walk that, you know, I was talking to somebody a week ago or so and just talking about this word, you know, and he sat under it for a while. And come find out, he didn't have one clue. Even what I thought he should have retained from when he was here, lost it. Gone.
Amen.
Nothing. He right back into a worldly idea of God
Amen.
Somewhere. Yes. You know, didn't and even said, I don't know if I'm going or not. I said, well, that's not a good place to be. you can see this, like AJ said a while back, you know, he said there's proofs. The Bible says there's infallible proofs.
Amen.
Many infallible proofs. And I'm thankful to know that. I'm thankful
Amen,
to see
Lord.
It. You know, and you sit there and say, you know, well, you're just trying to shut me out with all your knowledge and everything. Oh, no. No. There, and all that getting understanding. Amen. Get knowledge. See how this thing works. It you should know how it works. Otherwise, you'll never defeat the devil. You know, you got to know what step to take, what step not to take. You got to know, you know, how to defeat the devil. He's a liar. And you got to know it. You know, the Bible says know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, if you know the spirit of truth, you automatically know the spirit of error. It's anything contrary to the truth. And I'm so thankful to sit on this for so long. You know, you hate to boast in a sense, but I boast in the Lord. You know, he has brought me a mighty long way. And I can, you know, as far as the devil, he's not even in my picture. He ain't got one hold. You know, I look at this, and it seems like the church world is forever trying, well, you got to praise him all the time. You just got to praise him all the time. You got to keep in a spirit of praise all the time. I'm not the 420 elders standing before the throne. You know, I got a life to live. And you know what? God lives my life with me. He walks with me. He talks with me every day. I don't care if I'm working. I don't care if I'm dabbling in this, dabbling in that. He's right there. He never leave me, never forsake me. Though I make my bed in hell, he's right there. He's still right there. When I'm done with the devil, I just sling him over in the corner. I said, Lord, let me think about you for a while. I'll give the devil enough time. And he says, I'm right here. You know, when I asked my wife what she wants to go out to eat, I said, well, where do you want to go? You know, I don't want her to say, well, where do you want to go? I want to do what you want to do. No, I'm asking her what she wants to do. I want to bless her in what she wants to do. You know, and I'm just so thankful it's that way. I have desires. I have things I want to do in life. That was the whole purpose of him having a many-membered body. You know, and I was thinking, too, about polygamy. And, you know, God's the biggest polygamist there ever was. Yeah, big bride. But, you know, he don't take us all into that eighth room together. He takes us each one individually. You know, and there's things that go on in the eighth room. I remember Brother Childers said early on when I first started coming here, he said, you don't talk about things in the eighth room. You know, that's between you and your lover. That's between you and God. And, you know, what goes on in that little room, you know, what goes on, you new birth, you walk with him. That's just everything. You know, and as you give to that, as you learn that's the way it is, it becomes greater. You know, just like a man and a woman, they're married for so long, it should become greater. Like I say, there should be a little nod, there should be a little saying, there should be a little wink that really means something. There's a lot behind it. And as you walk with God, you know, there's so much behind every little thing. Every little word comes forth. I know. He's talking to me. That's why I get excited. That's why it stirs me. You know, I might feel like an idiot after I testify. I should have said this, didn't say that, you know, and all this and the other. I might mess up here and there and that and everything. But when that word comes forth, I know my Father's voice. I know my Shepherd's voice. When he's talking to me, that's the most enthusing part of my life is to hear the word come forth. Because he's talking directly to me.
Yes.
You know, he's speaking. He's strumming my. He knows exactly what I need. You know, and just like a wife, you know, when he says something, that should mean everything to her. Amen. Because he knows her. And he's looking out for her. You know, I was telling this fellow, you know, that we have, you know, the Bible says we have fathers after the flesh, you know, and they discipline, you know, after their own lusts. You know, do this, don't do that. You know, we was talking about, you know, he's talking about he got on his wife about this and the other, and I come back later and I said, you know, at any given day, you'd have been took to the other side. You'd have been said, no, don't let him do that. You know, this time he said, oh, let him do it. Don't worry about it. You know, I said, that's fickle. That's life. You know, up and down, in and out, emotions. You know, that's why Brother Bram said at one time, our headship is junk. Just totally junk. I was almost offended at first, but I got to realize what he's talking about. You know, we just man. We just got our whims and things. But, you know, when God speaks, his word's eternal. And I was sitting there thinking, I said, you know, when he's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, he's yea and amen. I don't care if I'm up and down, in and out. I don't care if somebody offends me. Don't offend me. I offend somebody. Don't offend him. It don't matter to me at all. The word of God is true. And I told this fella, you know, that whether I believe it or don't believe it, the word of God's true. It was from the beginning. knew the end from the beginning. It was yea and amen. And I'm so thankful it's that way, because I can always come back to something. I can always come back to that perfect absolute that cannot, there is no, what, shadow of turning in him. You know, so many scriptures, there's so many sayings, there's so many things that's so real.
Amen.
I liked what Brother Jay said the other day. He said, if you got a problem, it should be a new problem.
That's right.
You know, you should be past the old problems. You know, don't sit there and dwell and dwell and dwell and go round and round with the devil on something. Get past it. You know, it's a moving God. You move with him. Brother Childers said one time, you got to run. You got to keep up with God. And God's moving fast in this day. If you haven't noticed the past few weeks, God's moving pretty fast. If he wants me to testify, I'll testify. If he wants me to sit down, I'll sit down. I asked Brother Moore, you know, myself. I said, you know, just tell me to sit down. I'll sit down. I'm not saying another word, you know. My flesh would love that. I said, you know, let these young guys have the song service. You know, I'll sit down. But you know, whatever he wants, that's what I want. You know, that's my desire. You got to have that desire. If you got no desire, you'll never do nothing. You'll never get off the couch. You'll never get out and get anything done today. You know, there's so much in this. You got to have, Brother Children, you say, you got to have a go ye. You got to have a push. You got to have a press. Paul said it's a pressing way. We come here and we sit, we got our mind made up, not going to do nothing today. I'm going to do the same thing, or I'm going to wait till he puts something on my heart. What about you?
Amen.
You know, where do you want to eat? Amen. What do you want out of God today?
Amen.
How do you want to worship him? Worship is always up to the worshiper.
Amen.
God ain't going to make you worship him. The worship comes from you.
Amen.
The obedience comes from you. The longing, the desire comes from you.
Amen.
Oh, I love this thing. You know, there's so much. You think, how can I ever get it out? Just little by little, I guess. That's where he gave it. So just a little by little. As he gives, I freely give. As he gives it to me, I freely want to share it. Don't let it get old. Don't let it stale. I don't want stale crackers. You know? Oh, no. No, I want something fresh. Right out of the package. Something that you can bite your teeth into and it crunches a little bit. Amen.
I had too many voices telling me to sit down and shut up to make this. So it has to be
done. Must be safe.
About 30 years ago, I used to work at United Dairy Farmers. And every once in a while, I would get a counterfeit $20 bill coming through. Once I see this counterfeit $20 bill, I didn't go to the bank, take all my money out because I was disgusted because there was counterfeit money.
No.
But we all know a Christian somewhere that left the church because they ran into a counterfeit Christian.
And that's like, right.
You only counterfeit something that's valuable.
Right.
So, whoever, you know, when you get to that point, you run into a counterfeit, you know, just be glad. It's an honor that they're trying to get something valuable.
Amen.
And we don't need to be there. You know, just, they're trying.
Amen.
That's the key of it. I want to ramble if I don't.
Amen.
Amen. I want my turn.
You guys can be seated.
I want to praise God. This thing is so sweet.
Amen.
I praise God for this, you know. I've come too far to turn back now. I believe this too much now to be confused. I believe this too much now. Let Satan even bother me.
Come on.
Satan is so defeated. God so talks to me. I see this word. I see it in the Bible. I see it in the ministry. I see it in my brothers and sisters. There's no confusion here. I know who I am. I know when I walk in the room who I am. I know what my job is. And I praise God for that. I'm not long-winded. But let me tell you, I believe this from the bottom of my heart. It's who I am. I'm 100% this.
Yes.
I praise God for this. I love him. I love him. I want to do a little housekeeping here. Just wanted to explain to you all. Brother Moore said that, you know, we need to keep our distance from James. I just want to explain to you why, so you'd understand. You know, James takes medications because your body will reject something that's not of you. So he takes medication so he doesn't reject his liver.
Right.
So it's real important that if we're sick, that we stay away from him.
Amen.
In fact, pastors admonished us not even come to church if you're sick.
Right.
But, you know, no handshaking, some fist bumping, no hugging. But if your kids, probably keep your kids away from him. But it's our responsibility. He's our brother.
That's
Right, you know, right. We love our brother. We love all of our brothers and sisters. Yeah. Just like some of us might be elders. And you got to watch out for us, too. Yeah. That you don't bring something because, you know, I get a cold. It's a little different than one of the kids get a cold. You know, and if James gets a cold, it's a whole lot different. Amen. But I know God's got his hand on everything. Yeah. And again, I don't fear Satan. And I use wisdom. Pastor told us with COVID, we use wisdom. But I don't fear anything. No, Satan is defeated in everything. Amen. That includes sickness. Everything. But the biggest thing he's defeated is this. You know, that battle of the mind. I don't question this anymore. I know who I am. I know this truth. I know I'm born again. I know where I'm going. I don't have to be confused. I don't have to go out there and say, did I mess up? I don't worry about that. God's taking care of everything. And when I need to be talked to, oh, yes, I need to be rebuked. Yes, I need to be spanked. And when God does it, I get spanked, but I get right back up and go on.
Yes, sir. I love that. That's a son. That's
a son. Page 215, why shouldn't I praise the Lord? And of course, oh.
I'm getting up here today. I said, stake my claim.
Amen.
You know, I got to thinking, I don't do enough for God for what he requires me to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, here I am sitting at home. I play, and I have all these songs. And it's like a gift.
Amen.
And it's like, if I get a gift, naturally I want to share it. So right. I cannot do it financially. So yeah. I'm out here, and I'm going to, Pastor Moore, you kind of inspired me. Song a while ago, you had sang, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
So I'll try this here.
What a
here.
Beautiful song. Amen.
I got a new flute mic here, so hopefully this thing is not too loud. It's too loud,
play
I'm
like
sorry.
You mean it.
It's not loud enough, I'm sorry.
That's right. You're just right.
Now. Play like you mean it.
Thank you.
just wanted to give here. And I was thinking, she was saying that you don't do enough, but we can never do enough for God because he's just done everything for us. And just like that song, I'm ready to give up my life and just give up the wrong and do the right because God's just been so good to us. And I was sitting there, I was thinking about on Wednesday that they said that John, that God just knows everything we need before we need it, and that he testified of the beast and the horse riders before they even came. And I was just thinking how much God sees the bigger plan, how much he's in our life, and how he sees every step of the way. And I was just thankful, and I was in there, and I've been so nervous the past, like since 2 a.m., my stomach has been sick, and my fingers have been cold, and I've just been wanting to just give up and just let God have my life and just use me. And I want to take this place serious. I want to be just as nervous as you are because I want God to use me just as much. Amen. I want to be able to get out of the way just as much.
Yes.
And I was sitting there, and this morning I was reading John chapter 5 because Jeremiah mentioned it right at the end of church about the general resurrection. And I was sitting there reading it, and there were so many promises in there that I've heard a million times. I didn't know where they came from, like how we can judge and how nothing's revealed to us unless the Father reveals. And I was just sitting there, I was thinking, that's why it's so important to get in there, because we know all this stuff, but to know where it comes from, that gives us another thing to defeat the devil, because we can just go back to that scripture. And I was just so thankful for this place, and I'm thankful to be here, and I have so much to say, and I'm feeling so strongly for the Lord, and I just don't even almost know what to do with myself, but I just want to get out of the way, because like I said, he's been so good. I'm just so thankful, and I love it here, and I'm excited for the word today.
I'm going to go real quick. Looks like they're limited in the availability there, and he hadn't cut it off just yet, so I slid right in there. I've seen this script before. So I wanted to say I'm glad to be here Sunday morning. Brother Seth, you said it right. We did make it one more time, and you know, we should applaud everybody that makes it in the door, because we all go through something to make it in here. And I was just reminded when Sister Christy, I mean, you see her plight, you see her movement. I mean, we've all been able to witness her when she first came here, where she sat, what she did, and we've seen her just get stronger and stronger and stronger. I mean, that's just a testimony right there. You've been able to watch a miracle. That's a miracle. You talk about where she came from, what she knew, the revelation she had, what she worried about, how she even testified. There was a time period where she'd say, oh, I wish this one would come. I wish that one would come. Then she gets in here and say, I don't care if anybody shows up with me. I'm going to enjoy myself and have a good time. There was a time where she'd say, I hope my husband makes it here. Hope my kids make it here. Now she's saying, I got them if they never come in here. I'm going to enjoy God when I get in here. That's just Sister Chrissy's testimony that you've been able to witness for yourself, that you've been able to watch. That should help you be stronger in your own light. But I thought about gifts, and I thought, you know, there was times I was in the hospital and all those things, and I would get prayer cloths, and I would get a prayer cloth, and I would set it down, and the hospital staff would take it. And I'd get so mad because they wouldn't clean up anything else. And I'd set the prayer cloth down, and I'd get up, and I'd be a messy tray, all this other leftover food, and they would have thrown away my prayer cloth. And I'm like, ah, I'm getting upset. And I kept getting different prayer cloths. And what it was is the prayer cloth kind of looks like an alcohol swab. So it looked like what the nurses would use to take the blood. So they were trying to get that up. They were trying to clean up after themselves to think that maybe they left something. But then I thought, you know what? I'm over here complaining about something that looks like an alcohol swab. It was a small token of what I had, and here I'm laying underneath this blanket that Sister Renee had made me, which is a massive prayer cloth. It was a magic blanket. I'm sitting there laying underneath this blanket of protection, and I'm complaining about something small. I thought, we do that all the time. You got this big blanket of protection, and you go and complain about something little. You got God giving you the revelation of the hour. You get everything revealed, and you're worried about tomorrow's light bill. God gives you everything that you need, and you're, I don't know if I can sing that song. God gives you musicians, gives you microphones, gives you availability, gives you support, and you come here and want to complain about something small. I'm just thanking God that I'm here for one more time to hear the word of God. Amen. That's why I'm even resting when I give my testimony. I'm saying I need my energy for the word of God. I don't even want to, I do want to get my voice out there, but I want to save it to give some amens for the word of God. That's what I came here for. I love seeing you. I love being able to fellowship with you, but I didn't come here to fellowship with Brother Dwayne. I came here to fellowship with God. I didn't come here to see what Brother Don Destin was wearing. I came here to hear the word of God. All right. Push through and persevere just to get to the house to sit in these hard benches. I came here to hear the word of God. That is the most important thing that we can do in this hour. And the fact that you can hear and understand the word of God, I don't think you give it enough praise. I don't think you give it enough tension. There is nothing that you can move out of the way that's more important than the word of God. We are so late of an hour that I can literally make it standing on my head. Yes. We are such late of an hour that there's a group of people that can't see what we see. We come in here and take it for granted that you can hear the word of God. We have the ability to say that I am God and nobody gets offended.
Come on.
They got offended because not because he healed. Now, when he healed on the Sabbath, they got upset. But when he said, I and my Father are one, I'm equal with God. Now it's time to behead him. Now it's time to kill him. Now we got to kill him. Now all those other sins, they could almost forgive a little bit. All those other transgressions, they were almost able to take it and say, well, maybe. You fed the 5,000, we'll let you slide on this. But when you start saying you're equal with God, people start walking away. It's blasphemy. That's even when he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. If you don't take the word of the hour, you have no life in you. When you see me, you better see the Father, or you have no life in you. Why? Because there's got to be representation in you that recognizes the word of God when you see it, or else there is no God in you. So I can say, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, there is no life in you. I'm the life giver. Unless you accept what I have, you have no life. It's like being water. If you never get water, you have no life. I'm the water. And if you drink of these, you'll never thirst again. So I can look at anybody and say, unless you're taking this water in, I know you don't have no life. I don't even have to worry about what's going on with you. If you're not here, I know what's going on. I was sitting up in the hospital and all those things, and if I saw that it wasn't raining, I'd know how my plants were doing. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't even have to go see them. If it's not raining, I know they're dying. I don't have to see it. I don't have to see what the leaf color changes. I don't have to even check anything else. I see that there's no rain, there's no life. I can do that in your own life. I can look at your schedule. I can see what your priorities are. I can just look at it and say, there's no water there. I don't even have to worry about how your job is going. I don't have to worry about how your family's going. I see that there's no water, there's no life. And if there's no life, there's no growth. So you look like a four-year-old all the time. Been in this message for 20 years and look like you're 4 years old. But I see somebody like Sister Christy been here for a couple months, a year, whatever, 2-3 years. We go back to her old church, they don't even know who she is. They're like, what happened? Oh, I got a revelation of the hour. I've been growing. Oh, that's not a slight against anybody. But when God is the only revealer, he's the only revealer, so it's not even anybody else's fault. God revealed it in the time that he wanted to reveal it, where he needs to. You can see that even in Brother Skyler's life. Where he was at, you see he's growing. It should be the same for us. We're sitting under the fountain. We should be growing even faster. Oh, my, it shouldn't be a hiccup in anything at all. So I just praise God for this place. I praise God for what I get. Thank you, Brother Caleb. God bless you.
Amen. This will be the last one.
I'm glad to be here. I God revealed something to me that I didn't exactly know what to do with. Like the other day, well, first off, God told me today that just because I witness God talking to me, or I witness God noticing me, or bringing it to my attention, that I could tell every one of you in the room, and there might only be a handful of you that says, yeah, I see that's God. The rest of you may be like, oh yeah, she saw God. Not a big deal. Okay, so he's been talking to me. Like, he told me one day, he's like, and I'm usually pretty meticulous about not doing things like locking my keys in my truck. I did it twice in one day. But God told me beforehand, I'm like, okay, Lord, twice in one day, I locked my keys in my truck. He told me, so I wasn't upset or worried about it. And it worked out, but it's not something I normally do. And so then later on, like I went out with the Praters to a couple places down in Cincinnati, and we went to a separate place and we came back, and as we were walking back in, they were like, we saw you earlier today. You saw us? Like they really did see us. We didn't see them. And I'm like, okay, cool. And we walk a couple more steps and a security guard said, weren't you? I saw you earlier today. There's people out there that see us.
Sure.
And the rest of those people, the other dozens and hundreds of people, couldn't see us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they wanted to.
That's true.
And not everybody will feel that or understand that, you know, there was a time before I came to this message that I would see God and I'd be like, yeah, God moved with that, but that would be it. It wouldn't matter. God does stuff and he doesn't do stuff. But now when I see God, when I see God, and God said, I see you, you know, do you want water? Do you want this? You know, and like the, one of the guys that, that helped me out, he's like, you know, he unlocked my truck and he said, I have a water. It's not, it's hot, but it's bottle of water. And I'm like, you know, it's, they do what they can, but the rest of the people, they won't see us. They can't see us. But the ones that do, you know, so if you tell somebody something, when you see God and they're like, okay, don't give up. You saw God. Right. You saw God. Yeah. When you find somebody that can see God, it doesn't matter if you tell 10 people and they can't see him or they don't get that revelation that God was actually there.
Right.
You know, just like the same with the revelation God gives you, that he revealed it to you, and stand on that.
Right.
Because he, not everybody can see the same thing.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We got the announcements here. We got Kevin and Sway's wedding. It's August 18th at 4:30, and then
Friday.
Okay. Then September 9th, we're going to the rodeo. September 10th is Church Pictures, and September 29th is the bonfire at our house.
So, regards to the rodeo, the sign-up sheet's back there now. $15 for adults, $5 for kids 6 to 12. If you're over 12, you're an adult. So.
Page 215, why shouldn't I praise the Lord? It's key of F.
Amen.
Amen. Why shouldn't I?
So why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me. Oh, I was blind and I could until this message found me. Oh, then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of his mercies to me. We shouldn't sit with our heads hung down. Christ is with us now. Giving strength to his bride each day, since this true way she's found. And the manifested sons of God, this world surely will see. Oh, then the rapture from death, our last enemy. So why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good. Thank you. And rebuild. Blind and I could not see until this message found me, and then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of his mercies to me. Living Word made flesh.
blessed found me. And then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of his mercies to me. Heavenly Father, we come here this morning. Lord, we're so grateful that you have come and revealed yourself to us. This message is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. And I almost don't want to just call it the message, but it's the opening of the word. Because we've made a creed out of the message. But Father, you've come and you've opened your word to us and made it available to the bride. And she is receiving this word with all that lies within her. It's making a stand. It's making us stronger. And Lord, when the world turns it down, she loves it. We thank you for bringing us back to your house one more time and for bringing Jay to be amongst us and answering our prayers, Lord. Lord, we ask you to send those prayers to Trevor. Send those prayers to the Earlys. Send those prayers to Victor and June in the Philippines and Brother Tony on his way back to Africa. Lord, move in these different ones and different needs that the body has. We know you can do it. We know you will do it because that's your word and you're a keeper of your word. Lord, now that we have come to this part of the service, we ask you to just, Lord, move amongst us, Lord. Move us aside, both the speaker and the hearer, for we have nothing of ourselves, but God, you know what you want done this morning. We come before you asking you, Lord, to move in this place. Speak to our hearts so that, Lord, when we leave here, we can leave with your word in us and you can quicken that to our hearts and our lives and that it can become one with us in such that it changes our very lives and eventually it'll change our very molecules. Thank you for this group. Thank you for those that are tuning in or listening from some other area, some other place. Lord, just move in their behalf. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I always say that, but I always mean that. And it's good to be able to come amongst the body here. And it's a blessing to be who we are. You know, most people can't receive what we can receive. Most people don't want what we want. And, you know, it makes all the difference in the world when God's in the middle of it all. So it's good. Continue to pray for Jay. Remember what John's saying and just keep that in mind. And it's for all of us, too, because we've got more than just Jay here. We've got people who have issues with their body and their lungs and different things. So we have to be aware of that. And so we just need to be respectful and come when you can and when you can't, don't. But it's always good to have you in the house of the Lord. It's always good because, you know, we should be gathered in the house. That should be our heart's desire. It should be our goal, our focus. And all that we do should be in line with what God wants us to do here in the house. And the more you come, the more you learn. And the more you learn, the more you want to come. And if you come and you back off and you don't want to come no more, that means you never learn. Because the first thing it's going to do is give you a desire to be where the word is. And when I see you getting cold and I see you backing off, then I realize that you're not eating what's being served. Because if you couldn't be eating it and walk away from it. You couldn't be eating it and not get stronger and not change. Because this word changes you. It changes you automatically. You don't have to be forced to love God. It's not hard to love God. When you love somebody, it's not hard. You know, his wife's saying, "Oh, I can't. I gotta love my husband." And he's like, "I gotta love my wife." If it's like that, then that's not love. You need to work on that because you need to get to a place where love is giving without looking for nothing in return. Love is you doing for somebody because you want to, not because you're obligated to. There goes my twin. Love is giving and looking for nothing in return.
And like
that poem I wrote, love is becoming a footstool that someone else, that others can reach higher. You know, it's not about what it costs you. It's not about, people get concerned about, what am I going to get out of it? Just gives. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't look for nothing in return, didn't ask for nothing in return. He just gave. And we just give because we love. We come to the house of God because we love God. Because we know that that's where God is, and that's what, if I want to hear from God, I've got to get to the house. He said, well, I got the internet. Only way God's going to bless you on the internet if you can't get here. I know that's the truth. When Jay was in the hospital and he got to listen to the internet, that was a blessing. But the proof of the blessing is as soon as he got well enough, he got back to the house. You say you're 100% well and ain't in the house, then something's wrong with you. You need to check yourself out because you're not following the word of God. And the word of God says, gather yourself together. And even that much more as you see that day approaching. If we ever saw the day approaching, it's now. If we ever need to make getting to the house of God a priority, it's now. You don't even need to be late. You need to be early. Okay, I thought maybe I made it. I thought I messed up. Okay, all right. Brother Branham said, get here half an hour before service time. You know why he wants you here half an hour early? He wants you here so that you can get into the atmosphere and get all of those problems off and all of your troubles off and all of the last week troubles. Just get in that atmosphere and just bathe a little bit, because when the first testimony or first song comes forth, you're ready. Amen. You're not getting to hear 10:20, 10:30, and like, okay, what are they talking about? Who's up? What did I miss? I heard it on the way to church. That ain't good enough. You ain't good enough to hear it on the way to church. Get up early enough. If you get to work on time, and there's no eternal value in that. Okay. Talk is cheap. Brother Chiller says it takes money to buy whiskey. You're talking about serving God and loving God, and then put God first. Amen. Seek ye first. Put him first. Honor him first. We got people to drive. There's no way somebody drive an hour to church and get here before you who live 5 minutes away. I'm just saying, they're a living testimony. And you're a living testimony too. You're testifying whether you know it or not. You're testifying when you're late and you say, it doesn't mean that much to me. You're testifying when you come in here and interrupted the spirit, because at now God's got to stop what he's doing to address you. See, I could already be on my message. All right. So, I'm sorry. I walked in the house of correction. We need to be about our Father's business. He's not slack concerning his promises to us. Why should we be slack when it comes to working for him? Okay. So we need to put him first. Open your hand. Let him have what he wants. Don't try to hold on to nothing. Amen. Don't try to prefer nothing. You can reach it. When I was a kid, and my sisters were sitting next to me, Melanie on one side and Eula on the other side, and we had a bag of potato chips, I went in the bag and got the chip for them. I would give one to Melanie. I would give one to me. And then I'd give one to Eula. And then I'd give one to me. And I give one to Melanie. They never figured it out. She's just finding out now. But I was handing them what I wanted them to have. Don't serve God that way. Let him reach in the bag. Let him get the biggest chip. Let him decide what he wants out of your life. And then once he gets what he wants, you take what's left. If you got a little time left, that's all right. If you got to go to bed early because you got up early to get to church, that's all right. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you wonder if you want God to bless you, bless God. You do something for him, I guarantee you he'll do something for you. You give to him, and you can't beat God's giving. You give him a little, he'll give you a lot. You take one step, he'll take three. You offer one part of your body, he'll take all of it. Amen. That's the way he works. But that's the way God wants you to be. Brother Lackey said, you draw nine of him, and he will draw nine to you. You wonder why you're cold? You wonder why you don't have nothing to testify about? You wonder why you don't have no song? You wonder why you don't play instruments? Get a little closer to him. Get a little. Christy, she came here and she ain't played no. We didn't grab her because she had a talent and a flute. We didn't know it. She came for a while and then she's like, oh, by the way. And I'm like, what? And you notice she started with one flute and then she got another. I heard the difference today, Christy. That flute sounds nice. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't even know there was a difference in flutes. I thought a flute's a flute's a flute. Christy taught me. But she's giving back. If God gives you a talent, you know, I think Seth said it. Somebody said it. Said, when God gives you a gift, somebody mentioned about a gift. I said, you know what? Gift is not even a gift unless you give it. If I buy, you know, there's times I buy cards for people and I forget to give it to them. And I look later on in and this is in a drawer. And I'm like, oops. That's not much of a gift. And then it didn't edify anybody but me. And sometimes you come to church and you come and you got a gift and you take that gift back home. Don't even call it a gift. You didn't give it away. That's what a gift is. Look it up. It's something you get of somebody else. So you say, oh, I got a gift to singing. And you don't ever sing? What? It ain't a gift. Common sense, people. Common sense. Don says, most of it's not even revelation. Most things are just common sense. All right, let's get started. Because we got a Bible study tonight. We will be back at Bible study tonight. Sing has been a long time. Where's I? Oh, we didn't. We had a dinner. I was like, where was I last week? We had dinner. And then I was gone. Okay, it's time for Bible study again. So, the Bible study tonight at 7. And good to have you all come. I'm glad you all come and partake in it. And we'll get there this evening. If you want to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 6. I have some reading here to do out of Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. And I want to go over here in Hebrews chapter 6. I want to start at verse 13. That's in the New Testament if you're having trouble finding it. Y'all are getting there faster. Y'all used to just, I could hear the pages, but y'all getting there pretty quick. That must mean y'all reading at home. That's good. Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirming it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, and we might have a strong consolation, who had fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Whoa, that's a lot of reading there. That's what in all and what in the tarnation. I like to title the message this morning, God's Unfailing Words of Promise. Amen. And that goes back to a message that's the title Brother Branham had on a message he preached. I was listening to this service and I was thinking about this promise thing. And I was thinking about God. And the reason I went over to Hebrews 6, I thought, God is such that he couldn't find anything better to swear upon than himself. Everything else moves. Everything else changes. Everything else comes and goes. They're not the same. But God, he never changes. He'll change the way he does things. That's what throws people off. But God's got to do one thing one way, and he'll turn around and do another thing another way, and everybody's thinking, well, he didn't do it the way he always did, so it's not God, because God's the same. God's the same in himself, but he changes in what he does. He morphs himself to different things. And where people mess up is they think they're going to find God the way they found God yesterday. See, that's why people try to repeat. You know, they'll come and testify and burn the house down. House gets blown up. Oh, it's just the greatest thing. Then they come back the next week and they think, well, if God was in that last week, then God will be in that this week. So they get up and do the same thing. And when they do the same thing, the house gets bored, they're yawning, and nobody got edified at all. Because God's not going to repeat himself. He's a moving God. He's a changing God. And he's a God that's so sure about his word that he said, if I ever promise you anything, I'll swear on myself that I will do it. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
He is not movable. He is immute. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can find God if you know what you're looking for. People don't know how to find God. They're still looking for God in the Hoffman Head of Christ, and he ain't there. He moved from there. When they were looking around and looking for God and Jesus, and they were following him, he ascended into heaven. But when he came back as a pillar of fire and met Paul on the road. But he wasn't. But they said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus." But he didn't look like Jesus. He changed. But he was the same God. He was the same one that Paul had been crucifying, the same one that God had been messing with, that Paul had been messing with. He said, "I'm Jesus." But see, the thing about God is you got to be able to find him. You got to be able to know how to pick him up. Because he's always been here. He's never left. But people just don't know what they're looking for. When they're looking for God, they're looking for some pillar of fire. They're looking for some smoke. They're looking for some cloud. They're looking for some Hoffman head. They're looking for something that God isn't even using anymore. And then when God walks up to them, they don't recognize him because he doesn't come in the form that they want him to. That's why the Bible says that he that believed that Jesus is come, is come in the flesh, is of God. Because he's always here. Jesus is always here. Jesus is here this morning. And you got to be able to pick him up. But if you can't pick him up, you don't know him when you see him. That's why when people are working, when the foolish version are dealing with you, don't try to tell them who you are. They'll never believe you. They won't see it. Just let them do it. Jesus didn't try to explain to people. He just stuck his feet out. He just went there and broke the bread. He just said, let it happen, and they'll see it for themselves. They don't know what to call it, but I know what to call it. They don't call it God. They call it, oh, you're just a good person. You got a good nature, or you're this, or you're that. But that's not it at all. What they're looking at is God veiled in human skin, and they don't know that because they don't know God. Only way that they're going to know God is to know you. That's the only way they're going to see God is to see you. No man has seen God at any time. They got to find out where he's at. So in order to find out what God's doing and where God's at, you got to be sensitive, and you have to have something in you to even be able to pick it up. Do you know, you when you got a seed in you, that seed will pick up God no matter where he's at. That seed will pick up God no matter what he's in. That seed will pick up God, and no matter what it looks like, it might look like a trash can. It might look like the worst person on earth. It might look like somebody that nobody wants anything to do with. But if you know the word of God and you have a seed of God in you, you'll find God in there. Most people don't have that. So he said, by two immutable things. And number one, it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. God can't lie. Satan is the father of lies. Not God. He can't lie. So if God ever promises you anything, you can rest on that. If God ever says anything, you can build on that. I've built my life around this word because God said it. And the second thing, because you can easily find the first part, God won't lie. But the second part of that is that God give us something that we cannot turn him down. You can't get away from God. He is just as immutable in you as he is in himself. He is unmovable. You know what? Let me look. I looked up immutable because, you know, I always like to know what I'm talking about. And sometimes I know y'all are all smarter than me, and I know y'all know what immutable is, but I just want to read it for myself. It says, unchanging over time or unable to be changed. God is immutable? That's the first thing. And the second part of that says he's put it in us in such a way that we're immutable. We can pick him up. We'll pick God up no matter how he throws himself out. You can't miss God. You can't overlook God. You can't help but hear. When the word comes forth, you pick it up. He's made himself so available to you in such a way and put some of himself in you that when God moves, you can't help but to get him. That's why you're different than everybody else. Everybody else hears the word, and it's a second place, third place, fourth place. Doesn't matter what God, it doesn't matter what the pastor says. Doesn't matter what the church said. Doesn't matter what the people said. I don't need to worry about testimony. Testimony, sir, yeah, I don't need to come to that. I don't need to hear that. It's just y'all talking. I wait for the preaching. Well, the preaching starts when the testimony starts. God sings, you know. Did you know that? Did you know God sings? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. What was the song you said? The song you said with the words you were talking about this morning? Yeah, that one. I come to the garden alone. That one. He walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy I share. You need to hear that. Do you realize these songs will lift you up? Do you realize when you're going through something, you come here and Sister Christy plays I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel, and you've been knocked down all week, and you've been beat up all week, and you've been laughed at all week, and you've been talked about all week, and we didn't even have the words out there. Oh, I started bawling with just the music. Just to know that he's got the whole thing. You don't even have to sing it. Don didn't sing it. He just told the words and it turned me on. Christy just played the music and it turned me on. Oh, to know that God's in this place, doing what he does. Why would you want to miss it? I'd rather you be like Teresa. She'd come an hour early. I don't care what service this was. She's here an hour early.
Yes.
Got her a seat an hour early. And she just sit here and basking in the environment.
That's right.
Just sitting under the, just sitting here, just waiting, knowing God's going to move. Some of us, we don't hardly get here on time if we get here at all. And then you want God to talk to you? All right. But the seed of God has something in them that's immutable. Unmovable. Unwavering. It holds them when everybody else is doing this. Up and down. God's with me. Oh, I'm no good. God's with me. Oh, I'm no good. I'm cursed. This is God's blessed me. I mean, they're doing all that. And the bride just. John said he come to take the. He said this one comes going to take the high places and bring them low. And the low places and bring them up. Do you know when you get that, you know what you got? Level ground.
Yeah.
When you're walking with God, you're walking on level ground.
Amen.
I don't have a bad day with God.
No.
I don't have an up day and a down day.
No.
This thing is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about what tomorrow. Oh, what's Monday going to hold? Is it going to be a bad day? No. How do you know? Because the same one that was with me Saturday
Amen.
Is going to be the same one that was with me Monday. I'm not just happy on Sunday. I'm not just praising God on Sunday. I'm unmovable, unchangeable. I cannot. It said here, unchanging over time or unable to be changed. Either one of you want to use. I'm unable to be changed. God's in there. The first thing God said is, I'm going to swear them by myself, on myself. And the second thing that I'm going to do, and I'm going to put something in you that makes sure that you'll get this. Those two things are the thing that holds us together. That's why God don't worry about you, and that's why we don't need to worry about God. He's always going to be there, and we're always going to be there. He said here, I said the two things, God cannot lie, and we have a strong consolation of his promises.
Yeah.
So if God can't lie, and if he promises you something, we have a consolation because we know that he can't lie.
Right.
If you have any questions, see the answer above. God can't lie. So when God does what he does, he knows that we have a consolation that we can trust and build our lives on his promises.
Right. Yes.
We don't have to worry about whether God's going to keep it or not. If God speaks it, it's done.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody told me one time, says, you're so funny. He said, by the time you speak something and decide you're thinking about doing something, you've already made up your mind. You already got it in the works. You know it's going to happen because you already know you're going to do it. He said, by the time you tell us, we already hear you, but you've already got it. You already, we can bank that you're going to do it. That's what Sister Mullins, Fred's wife, B. Fred and I were talking and down there visiting. And I said, well, Fred, I'll come back and I'll bring my whole church. And he said, well, that's good. We'll pray about it. And Sister B looked at me and said, Fred, if Nate said he's going to do it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But that's just me. How much more God? If God promises you something, he does not go back on his word. He doesn't take it back. He doesn't try to patch an amendment to it. He don't have to do amendments. You know, we had to amend our Constitution. God don't have no amendments. He didn't need the book of the Maccabees. He didn't have to add to his Bible. His word is true, and his word is 100% what God said he's going to do. He will do it. And because he doesn't lie. Yeah. Oh, he found that out because our visit down South Carolina is now history.
That's right.
That's the proof of it. It's done. He is. You pray for him. Two immutable things God promised. Brother Branham said, to know this, God has sworn by an oath, and there's two immutable things. The immutability of God, that it's impossible for him to lie, that the heirs of his salvation might have this strong hope, steadfast and sure, an anchor in the soul. To know that, God has promised us by a sworn oath, one that he can't lie, and the other he swore an oath on top of that, that he will raise us up at the last day and give us eternal life. What a hope. Amen. That's a promise, people. Amen. Knowing that, after we have been called, that he said that he knew us before the foundation of the world and predestinated us into adoption of children through Jesus Christ. And he foreknew us. God promised us eternal life. He, the same one that can't lie. I mean, I love what, see, y'all don't understand how God does this. Johanna got up and said, you know what? I love reading the Bible. Because getting to know the Bible shows me the promises that God has in there for me. Right. I'm sitting on Oregon and say, there you go, Lord. Say it, God. Right. Tell them. Right. They ain't listening to me. Maybe they'll listen to Johanna. Right. If God promises you something, he's going to do it. Amen. Because he cannot lie. Oh, my. Amen. I don't know if we trust God or not. Sometimes we say we trust God, but then we're not immutable. We start changing our mind. Yeah. Well, we have a bad day, and all of a sudden, is God hitting me? Is he cursing me? Am I in trouble? Is God don't like me anymore? Right. Is God? Oh, no, God never changes his mind about his word. Amen. And if you are his word, he never changes his mind about you. Amen. I don't care what it looks like. Let the winds blow. Let the waves roll. Let it all happen. Amen. And God will never change his mind.
Amen.
And we need to understand that. That'll take the ups and downs out of your life. That'll take all that kicking yourself when you do something and thinking that God doesn't love you anymore. God loves you with an everlasting love. And if it's an everlasting love from God, it's an eternal love. And he'll never stop loving you. It's impossible because God doesn't lie. If God promises anything, you can build on it. Bank on it. The reason I'm going to get a new body is because God said I can have it, Jeremiah. Amen. Well, how can you trust that? You don't see nothing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The bride has faith in what God said. If I tell Clarice I'm going to take her out to eat after church, she's got faith that I'm going to do that. Amen. God cannot lie. Romans chapter 3, verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a lie. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in the sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God's word is true. Amen. It doesn't matter what man says, not even you. Amen. We talk ourselves out of it. Amen. We talk ourselves out of God's promises. But let every man's word be a lie.
That's right.
Even your own thinking.
Right.
John said right here, it's the greatest battle. This is where we fight. This is where it's won.
Right.
You got to trust God. You need something, trust God. If God said it, you can build on that. Don't look at circumstances. When circumstances are up against the wall and you look like there's no way out, God said he'll always provide a way out. That's what his promise said. Our problem isn't that God didn't do it or say it. It's we don't believe him. We really don't. We sit here and act like we believe him. You got to believe God.
Amen.
He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You've got to believe that he is. You got to believe that God keeps his word. You got to build your life on that thing. Don't worry about what the world offers. Don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about what they want to give you. Don't worry about thinking, well, I got to fix this for myself. Forget the world. Separate yourself from the world. Trust in the word of God. God, you said, God, you said, God, you said, you promised me. That's the way the bride should be living now. God, you promised me. Hold his nose to it. You promised me. He likes to be put to the fire. He wants to be tested. He wants you to trust him. Because he can't lie. He can't lie. He'll stop heaven and earth and still let his word go down. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. But my word will never pass away. Oh, we can trust his word. We don't even know how to find God. We're looking for God in Hoffman Head. But God is in his word, John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the word. I'm skipping down here. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't lie. See how important the word is? All you got to do is get God to say it. That's all you got to do. Just say it, Lord. Just say it. You just say it. Yeah, just speak the word. Speak it, Lord. And I'll believe it. I'll stay right there on it. I'll have faith in that. I can't even have faith till I see your word. Until you speak it, Lord, I can't have faith in it. Oh, I'm thinking I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I think I'm going to get up tomorrow. Oh, I think I'm going to have this tomorrow. I think I'm going to do this tomorrow. Oh, that's by you're thinking it. By faith, you're looking for it. But Lord, I need you to tell me what's going to happen. I need you to, God, as Adam says, Brother Adam, God looks around. He sees around corners. He gets you ready before you're ready. He put things in place. Before there was COVID, we had internet. We didn't have to change one thing. God already had it taken care of. He already made a way out. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Because he's true to his promises. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So why we wake up and act like today God ain't here? You break God's promises when you start talking that way. I got to get off when I hear you talking that way. I can't go with you when you start getting out of the word of God. When you get off the promises and start talking on your own way, I got to back off. Because what you think may or may not happen, it may happen. But there's no proof of it, no promise of it. God didn't say. I have people tell me, God, tell me to leave this church. That's so against his word, I wouldn't even argue the point. God's not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. In other words, God don't even repent. If I'm right, I'm right. You know, when I know I'm right, I'm right. You know how you are. You know how you are. You put the keys on the counter, and you know they're on the counter. And you just walk past the counter, and you run into your spouse. So, and your spouse said, where are the keys? They're on the counter. No, I hung them up on the hook. I know I did, and they're not up there. Now, I just walked past the counter. I know. You can't convince me otherwise. God does not lie. When he says anything, you can build your life on, and you should. Because heaven and earth is going to pass away, and if you build your life on the word of God, you will not pass away.
That's right.
Now, I'm jumping on down through here. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the word. Because people are looking for God. But people don't understand that God is in his word. They're looking for emotions. They're looking for this. They're looking for signs. They're looking for churches. And people go to church looking for God. But because they don't know what they're looking for. That's like when I first heard of Brother Childers and I talked to him on the phone. And I was coming to the New Year's service. And he showed me, we were trying to get here, and we ended up down at that Nazarene church on the corner. Now, I'd never seen Brother Childers in my life. Didn't know what he looked like. Didn't know he was black, white, what? I didn't know. Never met, just on the phone. So I got in there, and I sat down in this Nazarene church, and I was looking for Brother Childers. And I looked, and I looked. See, if you don't know what you're looking for, you won't know it when you got it. And I was looking for Brother Childers, looking for Brother Childers. After a while, I come to the conclusion, Brother Childers ain't here. Especially when the pastor looked at me, Clarice and Nadine, and said, y'all's going to sing for us after we eat. I think, what makes you think we can even sing? Just because we're black don't mean we can sing. That was an assumption on his part. So they went to the kitchen, and we went to the door. But I didn't know Brother Childers. I didn't know what he's looking for. People are looking for God that way.
Sure.
They go into churches looking for God. Yeah. They never seen him. Yeah. They don't know what to expect.
Right.
And then they go in looking for God. So what do they start looking for? Kind people.
Right.
Good environment. And they're looking around. The choir sounds great. They got ushers that meet you at the door and they walk you to your seat. You got stained glass, got candles, they got incense, they got all the stuff going on. And everybody's looking for God. They go in and say, well, there's God. This has got to be God. And then the preacher gets up and talks about a Trinitarian God. Well, you don't know what you don't know. Because people don't know God. They don't even know to look for the Word.
No.
If people would say you need to find the Word to find God, then people would know what to look for. But they don't know John 1 and 1. They don't know that God is His Word. They don't know when you hear the Word, you hear in God. And so they'll look at all this pomp and circumstances, and they'll call that God and sit there for years and die and never even meet God.
Amen.
But you got to understand, He is the Word. In order for you to find God, to even find God's promises, you need to find His Word. And everybody's got the Bible, but see, the problem with everybody having the Bible is everybody's got their own interpretation of what the Bible says. That's why we have to have a prophet, because everybody went their own way. Everybody's got their own gods. Everybody's got their own ideals. Everybody's doing their own thing. But God's got a Word. He's got the Word right there in front of them, and they can't even read it and understand it because they haven't had the seals open to them. They sit there and look at the Bible, reading John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. They can't even pick that up. Oh, we hear that, and we're like, amen.
Amen.
I know how to find God.
Yeah.
I know when I hear Him, I know where God's at. God's in His Word, and His Word's in His people. And when I hear from His people, I hear the Word. And I'm hearing His Word, that's God. And if it's God's Word, then that's a promise I can build on.
Amen.
Amen. All I need is God to say.
Right.
I got to just listen for that voice. I got to listen for God, because I know where He's coming from. That's what I'm saying. It's important for you not to miss a song. It's important for you to be in every service. It's important for you to be here, because God's here every service.
Amen.
I know He's here every service. I bring Him when I come.
Amen.
You bring Him when you come.
Amen.
So God's in every service, and God's got something to say out of everybody in here.
Amen.
That's why the song leader's got to do this. That's the way it should work.
Amen.
And He should have to cut people off.
Yeah, right.
Because the most important thing is the Word.
Yeah.
All the Word comes through y'all, but y'all ain't got nothing if you don't get me.
That's right.
How can I hear?
That's right.
It's got to be preached.
Amen.
Can't get this at home. Can't study this.
can't get it right on your own. You got to have a preacher. He's the one that's sent of God. And when he preaches, then you receive the word and gives God something to work with. And then God takes that word and puts it in you. Then it becomes the word made flesh in you. Then you're the walking, talking word of God. And what you bind gets bound. And what you loose gets loose, because you are the word of God. It's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. That's how you're going to get it. But you can't get it at home. I keep saying that because I know people listen to us at home when they need to be in the house of God. Shame on you. I've said it enough. You know it. But you can't get this at home. You will get no closer to God at home than where you are right now.
Amen.
You say, how are you going to stop me? Well, I stopped you. I just did. Remember, the word of God comes out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
And the word of God said you won't grow an inch sitting at home tuning in on the internet. You say, well, who do you think you are? In the beginning was the Word. We need to find the Word. If you don't find the Word, you cannot find God. It doesn't help you to just go to the church of your choice, because every church has the Bible, but every church doesn't have the Word. Every hotel room has a Gideon Bible in it, but it doesn't help them. You got to find where the Word is. You're looking for God. See, people don't know how to find God. They're looking for the wrong thing. And then when they do, they run into you. They know you're different. They can't put their finger on it. They know there's something about you. What is about you is that the Word is in there. And you just ooze the Word. It just comes out of your pores. It just comes out of you. And they pick it up. That's why you're the best employee. They pick it up. That's why you're the best neighbor. That's why when you go to grocery store at dawn, they're so nice to you. They don't know what to do with it. They notice something about you. And then you walk in their presence, and your very life is a testimony. That's like Sister Spears asked me when I started coming here. She stopped me one day. I was trying to not tell her where I was going to church because I thought y'all was a cult. And she caught me outside of Brother Dewberry's church one day. She said, "Ooh, Brother Nate, ooh, what you been eating?" I'm like, she had discernment. That was a seed of God there. And that seed walked past me and said, "Whoa! There's something about you." And she knew it. She said, "What have you been eating?" I felt like Eve. Cover your mouth. What? I must have had some jelly around my mouth. She's like, "What have you been eating?" I said, "Sister Spears, what are you talking about? You've been going somewhere. I can see it on you." And I was like, man. So then I was like, "Well, I've been going to a church out in Fairborn." And then she wanted to come with me. And I kept making excuses. "Well, Sister Spears can't go. The car's full." It was only me, Clarice, and Nadine. There was a seat. I lied a little bit. And then she called me the next week. "Can I go with you?" "Can't. Nah, Sister Spears. Woo. We're too tied up. We can't. We don't have no room." Third week, she's like, she got me. Ooh, she got me. She called and said, "Can I ride with you this week?" I said, "Sister Spears, sorry, our car's full." She said, "I'll follow you in my car." I'm like, see, you can't stop a seed of God. When they see the Word of God, and the Word of God is not a flowing robe. The Word of God is God's Word veiled in human flesh. And when you got the Word in human flesh, the seed of God will be drawn to that. When I heard this Word for the first time, I said, "I don't know what this is." I said, "But I know it's different than anything I've ever had." Yes. And I finally looked at Brother Chisholm and said, "I don't have what that man's got, but I'm going to get what that man's got." That's a seed of God. That's where y'all all should be. Oh, I may not have what the pastor had, but I'm going to get it. Brother Bob used to come and say, oh, I praise God for y'all. Y'all such good saints. And one of these days, I'm gonna be just like y'all, and I'm going to have and get the Holy Ghost and be born again. He stopped that. He got a revelation like, whoa, wait a minute. Word of God. I've been eating the Word of God. And I and my Father are one. The Word's in me. Now he's changed his testimony. He starts saying, I got it. Something about the Holy Ghost, I cannot explain, but I got it. That was Brother Bob's testimony. And that's a testimony of every believer. When you really start eating the Word of God, it'll change your life. Oh, it'll start making you do things you don't want to do. It'll stop making you do things that you want to do. That I would, I wouldn't. That I wouldn't, I'll find myself doing. Nobody understands Romans 7 but the bride. That's the Word of God for you. Amen. But when the Word of God is crossing the bride's path, there's an immutable thing inside of her that pulls her to the Word. Yeah. I don't care what it costs. It hurt when Brother Childers said I didn't have it. It hurt when they told me I didn't have it. I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I was ready for the journey. But I knew he was right.
Amen.
But I found out that they lied. And if they lied about one thing, I said, then what else did they do? I said, just throw it all out. Bathwater and baby and all. I didn't want none of it. I said, just Brother Childers, start me blank slate here. Blank slate. Who is God? He said, don't you know who God is? No, I didn't. No, I didn't know who God was. So you're an apostolic. I was full of apostolic dogma. Creeds. Lies. Things that were not immutable.
Right.
Things were going to move. You know, well, even with their Holy Ghost, you get it and lose it, get it and lose it, get it and lose it. I couldn't find out that once God quickens himself to you, you'll never lose it. He never leaves you. I don't care what.
Amen.
That's his promise. That's his word. That's what he said he was going to do. But that's what we don't look at. We don't look at the Word of God as God's promises. Johanna was right. We need to read the Bible because you need to be able to see the promises that are in there that God said. His unfailing word of promise. Brother Branham said here, Sergio, we would see Jesus. He said, but what I'm trying to say, when we're trying to find that person, Jesus, that's the person we're trying to find. What about this word? See, we're looking for Jesus. Everybody's going to church trying to find Jesus. I ain't nobody paying no attention to it. You know why I know they're not paying attention to the word? Because they're in those churches and they're feeding them anything and they're eating it up. What about this word? That can the word lie? No, sir. It can't lie and be God. God can't lie. And this word is God. The Bible said it was. And so now we're trying to find what he is. See, the thing is, we don't even know how to find God. You come here, I come here with our own ideas about what God is. And we come here trying to dictate to God what we're going to give him, what we're going to do, how we're going to live, where we're going to live, who we're going to marry, who we're going to date, where we're going to work. We don't even consult God. We come here with our own thinking and think we're going to tell God what we're going to do. God ain't interested in what your agenda is. He don't care about your career. He don't care about your girlfriend. He don't care about your boyfriend. He wants you to stand on his word and depend on his word. That's not even race, creed, or color dependent. That's not age dependent. If you're 15, you can tell God's word to anybody who wants to hear it. If you're 80, you can tell God's word to anybody who wants to hear it. God ain't worried about male or female. If the word of God is in you, it can come out. But because of our tradition, we make the word of none effect. We won't even listen to testimonies because we don't think it's the preacher. We go to the restroom when somebody goes to sing because ain't nothing in a song. It's just a song. I got time. We're missing God. We don't even know what we're looking for. What about the word?
Yeah.
Yeah. Word don't just come when the preacher comes. Word comes with testimony. Amen. Word comes with songs.
Yeah.
It's the living word. Could be just as matter, a small matter of meeting somebody at the back door and opening the door and letting them come in. You say, that ain't the word of God. It is. Preferring your brother. It's still the word of God. Your very life becomes the word of God. Your very actions become the word of God. Your very expression becomes the word of God. But I said, now, listen, some of you, you're like, I don't know. That is a God. No, no, no. And you're back and forth. And I have to level you out. If you notice, I never help you except for I just slow you down. I just bring you right back to the Word. Yeah. When you bring me your problems, I just take you back to the Word. I just take you back to the promises. You said, well, I got a problem. What's your problem? Well, I got this going on in my life. Okay. The Word says. See, we need to learn to lean on the promises and quit leaning on your own understanding. That's the Word too. Lean not to your own understanding. How could we identify him? Not in clothes, not in denominations, not in speeches. How are we going to find him? We're going to find him in the person, what he is. That he is now. Notice, the way they knowed him back there, not by his dress, not by his education from his school. So Brother Brown was trying to show us that we can find God when we find his word.
Yeah.
And his word can be in a young person. It can be in an old person. Right. When these kids get up here and sing, you think, oh, that's cute. That ain't cute. That's God.
Amen.
They're singing the word of God.
Amen.
But we think, oh, cute Johnny. Let me take a picture because it's going to be so cute in his photo album and whatever you put it in. And you're thinking, you're not even paying attention to the fact that God is up here expressing himself. And we think, well, get the kids done, then we'll get back to God. Oh, you ignorant. Oh, fool and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The word.
Amen.
Believe the whole word. Don't just take it and pick and choose. We pick it like we pick over food in a meal.
Right.
And like,
right.
I want some, like you had a smorgasbord. I want some of this, a little bit of that. I'll take a little of this. We take that. No. You got to eat all this. You got to eat everything that God gives. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God over 30. I'm just saying. I got more scripture than you got time.
That's right.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth. I don't care if your child talks to you, and if he's telling you the word of God, that's God. The word's God. But we don't even know how to find God, to find his promises, because we're looking for some God up here, something way out here somewhere, when God's right in your face.
Amen.
You won't even accept that. Some of you wives won't even take your husband's word because it's him.
Come on.
What's the pastor say? None of your business what the pastor says.
Yeah.
What's he think? None of your business what he thinks.
Yeah.
Obey your husband at home. Ask him at home. Yeah. Why? Because you know what? He's going to give you the word of God just like I would.
Right.
He better.
Yeah.
Or I'll be on him.
Right.
She come and say, don't come and say, yeah, Brother John told me. I was like, what? The next person I'm going to talk to is John.
Amen.
I don't even talk to the wives unless their husband's not here. I really don't. If you think about it, I don't worry about the wives if the husband's here. Because it's like, hey, what are you doing? Or what are you allowing? What are you not allowing? Or what are you telling her? Straighten it up, bub. I don't worry about y'all's kids running through church.
No.
I'm not running after y'all's kids.
No.
I'm running after you.
Amen.
If you're letting your kids grow wild, I'm going to talk to you.
Right.
If you're not putting God in your home, I'm going to be preaching to you.
Yeah.
I don't worry about the kids.
Right.
Kids only do what they're allowed. I watched a kid the other day. Oh, it was yesterday. They were climbing all over this fence, climbing all over something. And I'm looking and thinking, where's their parents? They were right there. Kids are going wild now because parents don't correct them. And after you get about 18, 19, 16, 17, he said, I thought they waited till they're 21. People think 21 is a magic number, and people, kids fall off of them like a skin. Just, well, they're 21 now. No. They should have been your friend when they were 15. I told y'all, you could only raise your kids until they're so old. And then after a certain age, 14, 15, you better become their friend. Because you know what? They're getting friends. So you got to be better than their friends. You got to be their best friend. You got to have so much influence over those kids that when they get pressured by the world kids, that they'll take what daddy and mommy says over that. Or they'll come to you and say, hey, daddy, I was up with Johnny, and Johnny and I, we experimented with marijuana. Now, they got to be comfortable enough. See, there's a lot of building up there. So that your kid can come and say that to you. You know, most parents won't. Their kids can't tell them that. You know what? I had a kid tell me that. Or a couple. Your kids? Yeah. Yes. But did daddy pull out the belt? Why, you? I'm going. I'm like, oh, really? As your friend, I'm going to tell you, that's not good. You don't need to be doing that. You're young. You're trying to get a job. They will check you for drugs. You'll get a bad habit. It's bad for your health. See, start giving them advice as a friend. Amen. Not spanking them as a daddy. Because they're past that point. You got to learn how to, you got to adjust when they adjust. The young girls, they're going to start looking at boys.
You know that's right.
Young boys are going to start looking at girls. That's natural. But you got to naturally, as a parent, be their best friend. Because they're going to tell you, come and tell you what Johnny tried to do to them. And they're going to need you to tell them how to handle Johnny. What to tell Johnny. Right. And they go talk to Johnny's parents. But see, we're not taught that. But as a youth, you still have value. Right. You're picking up the word of God while you're here. Right. God's talking to you every service just like he's talking to your parents. Like Jeremiah said, when I was a kid, I finally thought one day, well, I'm here, might as well listen. That was the worst thing he ever did. Because when you start listening, you become accountable. And when you become accountable, you got to make decisions that causes you to get baptized, that causes you to say, Lord, I want to live for you. Yeah. And that doesn't mean being a robot. That means I have given my life to God. Yeah. I believe the word of God. The word's got promises, and I want to be a part of that. Right. Only the elect can do that.
Amen.
That's why it tells you to repent and be baptized. Don't discourage your young people. Encourage them. Help them. Be there for them. Open the door. Let them, give them somewhere to talk. Give them somebody to talk to. If they're going to mess up with the body. I say, you know what? They're the only people in here that's going to be able to forgive you are the ones that are in your body. Everybody else will drag you down, talk about you, and then dog you and try to kill you. That's why when I had a whole church full of young people, I'd open up my house. I'd have 8-10 young people sitting in my basement.
Amen.
They'd come over. But you know what? I knew they weren't out in the streets.
Right. Yeah, right.
They'd come over and play their games. And I didn't know. I call it all Nintendo. I don't know what they call it. They did their games. David had a game room. They'd come there, play the games. I had a pool table. They played pool. They watched TV, watched whatever. And I sat right in amongst them.
Right.
I wasn't even always down there. I'd be down there a lot because they're my buddies. And one day I was sitting there, and there was about 8 or 10, 12 of them into my basement, and I looked around, and I said, I dedicated every last one of y'all. And they're all down there enjoying each other's company, being there together, not being out in the streets. You're not going to get killed in my house. They'll kill you out in the streets. And you parents need to make that kind of environment so that the young people can have somewhere to go, because they're going to go somewhere. They're going to talk to somebody, and I'd rather them talk to somebody with the word of them than to have them out there dealing with the world, because the world on the internet will feed them a line. They act like they're young and they're 60. They do all this stuff out there. So hold on to your young people. Yeah. Young people, remember, your best friends should be in the body.
Amen.
Your girlfriends, your boyfriends should be in the body. Amen. That's the safest place you can be. Other than that, you're in the casino. You're in a casino. You might get a good hand and you might get a bad one. You might get a good girl, you might get a bad one. And if you jump out there because you just so in love, and you get yourself hitched up with somebody that's unequally yoked together with you, you are asking for trouble. And it doesn't mean you can't make it. It just means it ain't going to be peaches and ice cream. It's going to be work. It's going to be hard. And you may have to come to church without them. You may have kids that she won't even allow to come to church. I've seen it done in this body. Did a wedding one time, and I stopped in the middle. I just closed it out. I saw they weren't serious. I just wrapped it up. They never even knew I did it. To this day, they don't know that I did it. But you know, to this day, their houses, they're a mess. They're a mess. They're a mess. You say, who was it? I ain't telling y'all. I don't have to let you know. I know God knows. And I was right in the middle of doing the vows. And I looked up and just, I don't know. I didn't even know that discernment would work at a wedding. I just discerned it. So I just wrapped it up. Got them out of there. And they went their way. By and by. It's a sad, sad situation to be in. So don't get yourself unequally yoked. I'd rather walk alone than to have somebody that won't serve God with me. You young people, listen to me. It's good to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, but if they're going to pull you away from the word of God, the promises of God, let them go.
Amen.
Let them go. Because all they're going to do is bring you headaches and heartaches. And I was at a cookout recently. I'll just look up. Because I don't want them to know. I was at a cookout recently. And all my exes came in. They come in. The brothers coming in with their wives. And they're coming together. And I was looking around. And it broke my heart. And it was sad to me. And it wasn't that I was uncomfortable. I know who I am. I looked. There's probably 5, 6 couples, 7 maybe. And I looked. And every one of those brothers had been led out of the church by their wives. Every last one. And they were all together. That's the first time I'd been together with all of them. And I was like, wow, looky here, as Brother Chitters would say. Looky here. Wives got on these cut shorts and tights, and the guys looking all over, and they don't have no control of what they don't have no control at all. They have lost their home, and I was sad about it. And I thought, Lord, look at this. And these were strong brothers, just like y'all standing here. I believe this. I believe this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But just like Samson and Delilah, she whittled him down. See, either your spouse is going to take you out of the church or you're going to bring them in. One or the other. That's what happens when you're unequally yoked. You say, well, I'll be strong. Every last of them said that. Every last one of them like that. I mean, good strong men. But then when those women got through messing with them, they're a wet noodle. Can't come to church if they wanted to. Isn't that bad? Can't bring their kids to church. I watch the kids. They're just raised up like wild. The world. They're the world. There's no God in them. You get them, just give them something to eat. Look where it comes from. Because they haven't been taught. And I don't blame the kids. They're just, you know, if you're raised up in the wild, it's just going to be wild. And I look, and all their kids are just just as worldly, and there's no Christian look about them, no Christian atmosphere. It just broke my heart. And I thought, God help them. Because they're at a point now, they're like, they can't come to church. And they know they're out. And even there, they were being polite with me, but I could tell they did not want me around. So I didn't stay long. I just stayed long enough to stay. And then I went ahead and left. But I thought, you know, that's sad. And these are young people who I baptized, I raised, I taught, and they know better. That's the thing about it. But I looked, I saw every last one of them had a spouse that pulled them out of the Word. And I thought, oh, that, don't unequally yoke yourself. It ain't worth it. You say, I'm a strong man. I can stay strong. If she don't want it, I'll take it. If he don't want it, I'll take it. I ain't never seen that happen. It affects. It's hard. It's a pull. You want to go to church? She want to go on vacation. You want to come to church? She want to have a picnic. I'm telling you the truth.
Listen.
And I've been saying this for years and years and years. Nobody listens to me, but then they do it, and the next thing I know, whoop, there's another one. And it's like, I tried to tell you. So that snake, it won't bite me. It's a pet. John, snakes don't care, do they?
No.
You might feed them, you might hold them, you might cuddle them, but the first chance they get, they're a cold-blooded animal. We're still talking about snakes, right? Okay. All right. Let me get back on my... I done gone to meddling, as Sister Baker says. But they don't know how to find God. And let me give you an example here. Abraham, over in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 12. This is what God said. Now, remember, whenever God says something, you can bank on it. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. That was a promise. That's God's promise. That was a promise from God. And God told Abram that they were going to go down, because God, remember, God separated Abram from his family and from his kin and took him out to a place, but he told him, you're going to go down to Egypt. Well, he didn't say Egypt, but he told him, you're going to go to a land, but it is Egypt, and you're going to stay there for 400 years. And then I won't read it, but in Exodus chapter 12, they actually say for 430 years. Brother Branham says because they didn't receive the prophet. They stayed a little longer. But God promised them that he was going to bring them out. See, Abraham, when he went to his deathbed, he knew that God had promised him a land. If God promised it, he's going to get it. So he told him, he said, they're going to go down there and they're going to serve him, and then I'm going to beat him up, and afterwards I'm going to bring him out 400 years. They're going to be down there. So Abraham believed God, and they stayed down there for 400 years. Now, God's made other promises. And just to save time, I'm just cutting on down to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. And when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, whom his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whom stripes ye were healed. That's a promise. He took the stripes that we could get healing. That's his word. Remember, he can't lie. If he said it, he can't lie, so we should stand on that. That's why when you get sick, you don't have to be sick. We stand on the word of God.
Amen.
God said, hold him right there. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let him think it's not important. Don't even let the devil tell you that God's not listening to you, that God's not going to answer your prayer. Oh, God will answer my prayer.
Amen.
He will, because he promised me he would. If I'm sick, he said, by his stripes I'm healed. I were healed already. It's done. I don't even have to worry about trying to pray to get it. It's already given to me.
Amen.
It was a promise of God. That's why we don't have to worry about sickness. That's why we don't have to worry. We stand on his word and watch God move.
Amen.
We watch the circumstances change to match the word of God.
Amen.
We don't see God amending his Bible. So, well, I know, but I don't think we can do that one. No. God, you said. God, you promised. You promised me. It's your unfailing word of promise. And that's what I built my life on. That's why my life is like it is. Because I built my life around this thing. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks. I built my life around the word of God.
Amen.
Nobody can tell me otherwise. By his stripes, we're already healed. That's why when you're sick, Jay, we don't have to pray, well, God, can you? Oh, no. He's already paid the price for that. We just hold him right on it. When it was looking bad and things were looking bad, and John knows it was looking bad, we'd hold right there. I'd tell him we'd just take it one step at a time.
Right.
We handle this thing one problem at a time. They say, you can't have this. This can't happen. You say, it's Courtney. I said, Courtney, Michelle, let's just take this step at a time, just one at a time. When they said it couldn't do it, we said, nope, pray about this. Nope, Lord, this is what we need. Well, they can't have that. The Lord, they said this is going to happen. Step right there. See, we all want the end. We want the healing right now. We want everything to be answered instantaneously.
Right.
But you just hold God to his word.
Right.
He don't expect you to make it happen. He just wants you to hold to his unfailing word, because that word will make things turn around. God's not going to turn around. The world will have to spin on its end before God turn around. We need to hold to God's unchanging word. Stand on it. If you want something, stand on it. If you pray for something, if God said it, stand on it. It's unfailing. It won't fall back. He won't take it back. If you need healing, he said he's paid the price already. It's yours. Don't have to stay sick. Don't have to be sick. Don't have to lose your mind. Don't have to do all the things that the world tells you you got to have. You don't have to. Just stand on the word of God. Stand right there on the word of God. And in God's timing, not yours. He'll bring it to pass. You just stand on the promise. By his stripes we're healed. That's what the word says. So wait on God. Why are you going to try to do anything other than just stand right there? And say, oh, Lord, I don't feel any better. It doesn't matter. Your word says. Lord, I still feel bad. Lord, but your word said. Lord, I still can't see, but your word said. Lord, I'm still blind, but your word said. That's what the bride does. We're standing on the unfailing body word. Not looking at anything else. We don't worry about what the circumstance. The doctor said he wasn't going to live through the day. We said, we're not going to worry about that. Not taking the doctor's word.
Amen.
Not waiting on what somebody else says. It is written. It's the unfailing body word of the Son of Man right before their eyes. And when you know that, you know what you got your hands around, then you can stand on that thing. I don't have to be sick. And if I get sick, I'll get better. And if I die, I'll still get better. I'm not going to turn around on the word of God just because I lose a case.
No. Amen.
Don asked about her sister. How are we going to pray? We're going to pray like believers.
Yes.
God, you said. Yes. By his stripes. See, we got this.
Yeah.
This is in our hands.
Amen.
This is what the word. Ask what you want.
Yeah.
That's what God said. You said, well, I don't have it. Well, does that change your testimony?
No.
You want a sound mind?
Yeah.
Ask for it. Ask for it. You don't have to talk yourself into being crazy. You know why people are crazy? Because they talk themselves into it. They give up on trying to be saved.
Yeah.
You say, you don't understand how it works. Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, you open yourself up to spirits. And the first spirit says, you're not saved. And you agree with that. And the more you start believing that, the worse you get. You know, Brother Joe said, I'm going to keep my mind until I leave here. I'm going to keep my son. He was claiming that. He didn't know how it was going to work. He didn't know. He couldn't even control it. But the Word of God said, I can have that. You can have a sane mind. You say, well, I got to stay on medicine. Stay on medicine until God does something different. But that don't mean you stop believing because he's on medicine. You still say, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Well, you say, what if I'm on medicine the rest of my life? By his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
Doesn't change God's word. God doesn't change his mind about his word.
That's right.
It's the unfailing promises of God's word. God promised us healing, to keep moving. God promised us in Joel 2 that he would restore. He did. He kept his word. God always keeps his word. We're the one that let God down. We're the one that stopped believing. We're the one that sell him short. We're the one that say it can't be that way. But oh yes, it can. Oh, when you think that you come up against the wall, God said, I'll always make a way out. You should be, as a believer, looking for that way. You shouldn't just sit down and say, oh, well, Lord, I'm finished now, and it's over with. Oh, no, no, no. God, you said, you promised that with every problem I'm going to have, you're going to make a way out. I can have that. See, that's a believer for you. That's not an unbeliever or a make-believe. That's a true believer.
Amen.
We're going to use the promises of God to overcome this world.
That's right. That's right.
That's what makes you strong. That's what makes you a strong believer. You don't have to take down. You don't have to listen to that devil and let him run you loose and run you around.
Amen.
You say, I don't feel well. Well, I got a promise that I can. I need a job. God, you said that I need to work. So, Lord, you need to provide. I need a house. God, you said you'd never see me forsaken by begging bread. So, Lord, that's your promise. See, I told you Johanna was right. She said, we need to go in here and find these promises because there's some things in there. There's things that he said that he would do, and God is true to his word. He's true to his word. Just find it. Just know what he said. You know what? A lot of times you don't even have to go find it. If you come to the house of God, I'll tell you what he said.
Amen.
Joel said he was going to restore, and he did. God promised us over in Thessalonians 4. You say you're rushing. Yes, I am. God promised over in Thessalonians chapter 4 that he's going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the trumpet of God.
Right.
That was a promise of God. And God kept his word.
Yes.
He brought a messenger. He brought a message. He descended from heaven with a shout.
Right.
That shout got into the prophet. That shout got into the bride as the voice. And that voice moving right now into the resurrection voice that's going to bring the dead up. That's going to unite us together. That's going to have the living and the dead together at the marriage supper. That's a promise of God.
Yes.
Just as real as all the others. It's going to happen, Don. It's going to happen, church. It's going to happen, believers. You just need to understand that's the word of God coming out of the mouth of God. And he said it's going to happen. You can build your life on that. Don't worry about that little boy. Don't worry about that little girl. Don't worry about that little job. Don't worry about your retirement. Don't worry about all this stuff. Whatever happens will happen. Whatever God brings will happen. But you just need to understand these are the promises that we've got ahead of us that God said he's going to do for us. We've already had the shout. We've already had the voice.
Yes.
Now that you're in the middle of the voice and you know it's real because you are the voice, how can you deny it?
Right.
How can you deny the other? When you are the very living voice of God that God promised was, you are the very promise that God said was going to come at the end time. Do you realize that? Do you realize that, church? You are the very voice that God said was going to come at the end time. We can't even deny that God said he's going to do it because it's already living right before your eyes.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we're already two-thirds done in that promise.
Yes.
No turning back now. No doubting now, you are the final voice to the final age. Voice, not shout, not trumpet. You're the final voice to the final age. If God's going to speak to this world at all, it's going to happen because he promised he's going to send you. 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 He wrote about you thousands of years ago. He prophesied of you coming. He prophesied of you being the last voice. He prophesied of that resurrection being in you, that that promise is living right in your face.
That's it.
You don't even have to go anywhere to look at it. Just look around. Just look around you.
Right.
Is 1 Thessalonians true? Yeah. How do you know? Look around you. Look around you. The voice is in the bride. That resurrection voice is in the bride. Promised by God. They've been looking for this voice that you've got for 2,000 years. And here you are sitting acting like you don't even know if you got enough to make it. Here you are trying to hold on to these little worldly things, this little earthly things, trying to make a little life for yourself. Life for yourself. You're not even going to begin to live till you get out of this life. When this voice turns to a trump, you're going to forget that little boy. You're going to forget that little girl. You're going to forget that wife, that husband, that job, that problem, that shortcoming, that issue. Go on and on and on. You're going to forget all of that. Every bit of that will go away. When this thing turns from a voice to a trumpet, oh, my goodness, all you're going to be worried about is where's the dead at? Where's the dead at? And we should be looking for the dead because that's the next promise. The voice is not even a promise anymore. It's fulfilled. It's sitting right in amongst you.
That's right.
So we're not looking for the voice. We are the voice. But what we're looking for is the trump. That's all I'm looking for. I ain't looking for the voice anymore. I know the voice is in the bride. And the next step is that uniting of the living and the dead. That's it. That's it, church. That's the promise of God. And these promises are laying in there. And these unfailing promises, because God cannot lie, he's going to make sure every bit of this happens. He's going to make sure, not you.
Amen.
We sit here and we think, well, what are we going to do? What do we got to do? What do we got to do? Just live. Same thing you did to help the shout. It's the same thing you did to help the voice.
Right.
Will be the same thing you'll do to help the trumpet.
That's right.
Not a thing.
Amen.
Not a thing. It's just God fulfilling the word through you and in you and by you. His unfailing word of promises will come through the bride. Automatically, with every heartbeat. I don't try to make myself the voice of the bride. I just am. I don't try to make myself the final voice to the final age. I just am. I didn't have my hearts turned back because I did something. I just did. I didn't have to be able to recognize the Son of Man on the scene. I just did. These are all promises of God that's moved right in front of your eyes. Unfailing. Unfailing body word. Never fail. He cannot lie. Oh, my goodness. I know I got to close.
Amen.
I want to read something.
Yep.
I want to skip down through this really quick. I was looking and I saw this in Brother Branham's quotes. And I thought this was so great. I want to read the whole thing, but I don't. It was in Shalom. I'll just start at the top and let's see how far we go. But my book and your book for the new year is the book of the old year, the Bible, God's word. Just make it live to what it's promised to live. Yes, sir. And every coming year to come, and every year that's been, he is the eternal God living through the eternal word that he spoke. When every Bible truth and every promise in it has been vindicated, and it has been as it has been down through the years. Now, this is what he says here. I want to get down to this. How God promised that he would destroy the world with water, and he vindicated it by Moses, by Noah, he says. He promised that he would send a deliverer. and bring Israel up out of Egypt that had sojourned for 400 years. He did just exactly that. He swore that he would raise up David and how David would be a son. Christ would be his son. Through David would come Christ. How he swore that he would do that. He did just that. He promised he would send John the Baptist before the coming of Jesus Christ. He did just that. He promised he would send the Messiah. He did just that. He promised the world would get into great groups of organizations and make a system of power known as the beast and would be up there sitting on seven hills. It did just exactly that. Listen to these promises. How the church would be persecuting them to death. They did just exactly that. How they'd come out in the Reformation. They did just exactly that. How he promised every age it would be. And he promised for this age, and here it is today, making the word live just exactly like he did in the beginning. Certainly. And when every promise is fulfilled, death is swaddled up in victory. Jesus will come, and the last one is vindicated. Then there will come an eternal peace on the earth, an eternal shalom. An eternal shalom, peace, will rest upon the earth. When Jesus came, the Prince of Peace, why wasn't there peace? But all the word wasn't fulfilled in his day. He is fulfilling it today. But when all of his promised word, which was a thought of God, a word is a thought expressed. God in his thinking thought it and expressed it through his prophets. And now it has been fulfilled. And when he foretold us these things, so we wouldn't make a mistake and blunder in darkness then, when we see it being fulfilled. Now, and he promised to send Christ the second time. And when he does, when Christ comes a second time, there will be an eternal shalom. Listen to those promises. Anything God ever said, all you got to do is, like Johannes said, find it in there. Just look in there. Look in there and find out what he's promised. Every time God opens his mouth and he promises something, you can build your life on it. Over there in Galatians chapter 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, verse 13, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that's us, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We weren't supposed to have this gift. We weren't supposed to be able to believe and be a part of this promise. That's like me leaving something to somebody that's not related to me and my family and my will. I can do it, but they weren't supposed to get it. We Gentiles were not supposed to get it, but God gave it to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jumping down to verse 16 now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not to, and to seeds as in many, but as in one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ bridged the gap between the Gentiles and the Jews to make all those promises that he was giving to the Jews available to us. So anything that God promised is ours. Just look in the book and find them. One more quote. And this is for Johanna. Since you can't preach, I'll read the quote for you that you had to go with this message. It's in Jehovah Jireh. You don't know what you own until you look through the Bible. Didn't Johanna say that? Oh, wait a minute, the preacher ain't got up. God ain't here yet. You don't know what you own until you go looking through the Bible to find out what the promise is. Amen. They've kept you from them. They'll keep them from you if they can. But they're yours. Every promise to Abraham and to his seed after him. Amen. Every divine promise in the word belongs to Abraham and his seed. That's us. Every promise belongs to Abraham and his seed. And you are an heir to it. An heir. Oh my. I like to look through and see what I got. If somebody gives me something, I like to look it over. And I like to look through the Bible and see what belongs to me, Johanna.
Amen.
See, I'm doing this to let y'all see. Y'all need to pay attention with testimonies because y'all think God ain't speaking till the preacher get up. He's trying to tell y'all before I get up. Amen. I like to look through the Bible and see what belongs to me. Every seed of Abraham ought to do that. You say, you just found that. No, that's in here.
Right.
Every seed of Abraham ought to do that. And when you become born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit upon you, you're heir to every one of those promises.
Amen.
Anything you can find. Do you know if I were to give Jeremiah a will and said, I give Jeremiah all of my worldly possessions, my house, my car, etc., etc. And I'm Xing out Clarice and the kids and giving it to Jeremiah. Why, Jeremiah, the first thing he would do after he got out of that lawyer's office is run right over to my house. Because he wants to know what he got.
Right.
He'll go through my closet. He'll go through my study. He'll go through my garage. He'll go through my shed. Ooh, there's a lawnmower. I got a lawnmower, a riding lawnmower. I got a fishing pole. He'll go through everything that I have because it belonged to him now.
Right.
How much more should we do the Bible? We got every right. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And everything in that book has been given to us. Every promise in the book is mine.
Right.
Every chapter, every verse, and every line. See, something just rolled through. You didn't know that was a song. It all belongs to me. It's God's unfailing words of promise. If God promised you that, it belongs to you, church. And whatever you need, God's got it. And it belongs to you because you're joint heirs with Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ made you heir. All human beings are heirs to this promise if you're a seed of God. Church, we've got all these promises. There is more. I'm just telling you. We've got promises that belong to us. He's promised us the real deal. And we're spending too much time trying to hang on to stuff that's not even promised us. Let it go. Start to hold to things that belong to you. Things that's been ordained of God. And you'll find yourself stronger. You'll find yourself more content. You find yourself with a focus, an arrowhead pointed focus to where you're going. And nothing's going to stop you from getting to that destination if you stand on those promises. If you believe God and just hang right there to Him. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning for your unfailing promises. So many promises in that book for us that we've overlooked and not even applied to ourselves, but they belong to us. And you said, we have not because we ask not. Or if we ask upon our own lust. We're not looking at what it means to help you and your will, but we're only trying to satisfy ourselves. But God, if there's anything that I can do in life that would please you and help you further your promised word, let me give to that. Let me lean in on that. Let me make it first place in my life
stand with those promises and not let nothing move me off of it. Knowing that it's unfailing. Lord, you cannot lie. If you promise it, you'll do it. Oh, it may not come in my time. I may not even. Lord, I might come up out of the dirt. But I will come up out of the dirt. Yeah. I may not even be here when it happens. That change that you said we promised to have. But Lord, if I am not here, I will be there. And I'll come back with a body not made by hands. And Lord, you promised that. And I'm built my life on it. We built our lives on it. We're looking to you for those things. And Lord, let us not sell ourselves short. If you promised it in your word, Lord, let us depend on that with everything that lies within us. Looking to you who is the author and the finisher of the very revelation of faith that we have on all of your promises. Thank you for this congregation. Let us leave here stronger than we've ever come here. Let's be more determined to look to your promises and hold your feet to the fire and wait on you to bring things to pass that you said you're going to do. Lord, because we know it's real. I've seen it too many times for me to doubt you. I know you're real. I know that that pillar of fire that Brother Branham saw is here in this congregation. It's dealing with us. It's answering our prayers. It's healing the bodies. Lord, it's doing all manner of things here. Just let us see it. Open our eyes that we can see you amongst us like never before. For you are real. And your promises are true. Thank you for all you've done. Continue to be with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. Standing on the promises, I think we'll sing that. Go ahead.
When Brother Jay was talking about it was the little things that was bothering him, it reminded me of the Song of Solomon where he's talking about it's the small foxes that spoil the vine.
That's right.
And it's the same thing with our promises. We know to pray for liver transplants and to fight our giants. But how many times do we apply these promises to the little things?
That's right.
We've got some runners in here that will go past the pain and the aches and all that, but they'll stop for a pebble in their shoe.
That's right.
And it's those little pebbles in our shoe that derail us. But if we just look and applied the Word of God to our small problems with the same intensity that we do the big problems, because it's all under God's control. My little girl the other day, her string came off her balloon. It was a big problem to her. It's a small problem. Just retry the string.
That's right.
But it derailed her whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And we let those little things derail us.
You're right.
We just need to apply it equally.
That's right.
Because we're God's children. He looks at our little problems every bit as big as the big problems because they're not big problems to him.
They're not a problem. Amen.
You're right.
All those promises are ours, Kevin. I think that's going to be the key.
You know, I thank God for this message today. It was the promises of God is a blessing because, you know, when you hold on to God's promises, you can never go wrong.
Never.
Thursday, when I was here cutting the grass, I was, you know, minding my business, listening to the message on which you preached Sunday. And my friend that I haven't seen in probably like 12, 13 years. Some of you guys know him. His name's Mario. He's 6'7". You can't miss him. He's a big guy. He was driving and, you know, he said, I normally don't come down the street and. And go figure, we were talking and stuff, and he said, I need to get right with the Lord. That's what he told me. He said, that end is coming. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, he don't go to this church.
Right.
And for him to say that, I was listening to him, but, you know, I just sat there and just paused. I'm like, you know what? This man is sitting here saying that the world's coming to an end. He's nervous. He wants to get right with the Lord. And I just told myself, Mario, you're going to be all right, man. Don't worry about it. Even if you never darken these doors again, I got you, man.
Amen.
I got you. You've been a friend to me. And that's the promise that you get here. You know what I mean? I felt bad for him. Because, you know, he's here in this world going through it and thinking like, I got to get right with the world. I want to get my life right.
Right.
We sit here coming here and we got the promises that we don't even think about hell.
Mm-mm.
We're going to heaven.
That's right.
We don't even bat an eye. But you got a man right here. He's really thinking, I got to get right with the Lord because I don't want to go to hell.
Right.
And I thank God I don't even have to think about hell. I ain't thinking about that.
No.
I'm thinking about just getting up and going up with my Lord up there in heaven.
Amen.
Even think about that.
Amen.
I don't. And when you say letting these things go, I ain't worried about that. Because really, these things in this world just don't mean nothing to you. It doesn't. I mean, when you're really putting your priorities straight, you know what's really important in your life. And
that's right.
I thank God for that. I thank God for the promises that we do get here. And it's just another reminder for myself to trust God even more. Just trust his word. You'll
Amen.
Be okay, but just stop putting your thinking on it. Just trust him because when God says something, he will do it. You don't have to doubt it. He always will do it. So I thank God. Like I said, I love this place. And I thank God that we have we serve a real God.
Amen. 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 Standing on the promises. Don't forget, 7 o'clock, come back tonight and see what the Lord has in store. Oh, and on Wednesday, Seth and Dwayne are going to be getting up. So they're going to be bringing the message on Wednesday night. So, amen. That's part of the promises. God's going to be here on Wednesday too. So don't stay home. Standing on the promises of Christ, the King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God.